Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, January 21st, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UC Wideout TV. Happy Thursday, everybody. It is, who knows, I haven't had a chance to look at a weather report, 23 degrees and snowing pretty well here in upstate New York. Looks like we got probably 4 or 5 inches since I went to bed last night. And it is still coming down. We have a special guest. You know that music? As soon as the music goes on, it's like, boop, Pavlov. That wakes me right up.
Right? Oh, I guess the snowstorm's going to miss us completely, so sorry you're getting snowed on.
Yeah, not really sure where this is even coming from. It looks more like lake effect. I just popped up AccuWeather, and I just see blue blobs around New York. Upstate, lakes. It's probably lake effect, I would imagine. But I was just surprised because my snowdrifts grew.
Wow, that's amazing. I guess everybody, I just kind of went over the headlines real quick, and I guess an inch of snow has already decapitated D.C., and Obama's motorcade got stuck in the traffic, and they're expecting 2 more feet.
Yeah, it should be funny.
Exactly. I guess they were giving out snow shovels for free.
Is that like Obama phones?
Yeah, I guess it is.
That's pretty funny.
Obama shovels. Shovels more than just snow.
I don't know if you were listening to the show this week or this week at all. Did you? Were you? About all the Zika virus spreading.
Oh, yeah, I caught some of that, yes.
Quote, unquote, Zika virus. I mean, Zika is a virus, but they're saying that it's being spread by mosquitoes, and there's a lot of question about, yes, maybe it is spread by mosquitoes, but no, it isn't necessarily the mosquitoes causing it, and that's kind of where the question is coming in. They just had, you were around for all the other pandemic-y outbreak-ies we had, right? Or Ebola. And I saw, well, this is pretty interesting. So we had measles and Johnny, Disney ruining everyone's vacation, right? Then we had Ebola, and oh my goodness, it was pretty scary. And then they were bringing them to the mainland. Then I think, what do we have after that? Doggy flu? Doggy flu for, and I saw doggy flu now is in a resurgence, by the way.
Oh, really? And then after that, the turkeys and
the yeah, those mass cullings. Oh, that was awful. All that bird flu. I forgot all about that. Yeah. And yeah. I'm sure there were a few more in there because, I mean, we covered all kinds of coming pandemics. But now is this Zika. We had dengue, right? Dengue had started to crop up in some of the warm places because it's all about climate change. And now we have Zika. And Zika's spreading. Now, as of yesterday, we've seen a few cases in the United States. There was one in Houston. Then we saw one in Hawaii. Then I saw 2 in Illinois, 2 in Miami, and now 1 in California. And the thing that I ran across in my research over the last few days, and I mean, I went back to see when we first started covering these mosquitoes, and I definitely think that there's something to do with Oxitec and the genetic modification. If you can even believe it, it was 1 year ago, this week, that we started talking about genetically modified mosquitoes, Oxitec, and mosquito-borne diseases and insects as disease vectors. And so I thought that was pretty cool because we definitely were ahead of the curve calling this one. And that's so sweet. What's scary now is that we're seeing, yesterday, I think I covered the story where, of course, we knew it was coming. They came out and said, hey, now that we got Zika spreading everywhere, maybe we should look at what we did for the dengue with genetically modifying mosquitoes and genetically modify mosquitoes now to go after the Zika mosquitoes. Well, very bad idea, in my personal opinion, because I still think that those GMO mosquitoes that were released the month before Zika became epidemic in Brazil, and the mosquitoes were released in the same area of Brazil the northeast section that all of these cases of microcephaly happened.
Mm-hmm. Ding, ding.
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know if it's a ding, ding, but I could definitely say dotted line interesting with a raised eyebrow, huh?
Right? Absolutely.
A Spock eyebrow. It at least deserves one of those. But, you know, now all of a sudden they're calling for more genetically modified mosquitoes. And this Oxitec just got purchased by that InterExon, who bought the Simplot GMO, the one GMO potato that's on the market, who also bought the apple, the GMO apple that doesn't brown. Same company bought Oxitec. Wow. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That is just absolutely insane. And it's easy to connect the dots here. I mean, really.
Well, you know, when they were all complaining and crying, they did not want those mosquitoes released in Florida, if you remember. They were going to release them to combat dengue, and they had like 4 cases in the Key West, right? And everybody yep. screamed and said, hell no, you're not. Well, all of a sudden, what did we see? Now, they said the USDA, I don't get how the USDA is doing an environmental impact study, but that's what the story said yesterday. The USDA is doing an environmental impact study trying to decide whether or not now there is enough reason to release them in Florida. And they said that all over the United States here, this is going to be like the new thing. But what I thought was even better, so as now there's like panic galore, again, remember, this is all about the panic, people. All about the panic because they got something waning in the wings. So there's been all this panic. And now we got babies with half heads and it's spreading. We find out yesterday. So now they're making it seem like we had these cases all over the United States. Well, all these women had been to South America. Okay. They all came back here. I found a story just at the very bottom, small print, that said yesterday, and I knew this, but hey, the dumb American public doesn't know this. They hear, oh my God, Zika virus. Oh, and they get all freaked out like it's something around every corner that they could catch. But you can't, it's not transmissible person to person. So don't worry about it. But what I found in the small print yesterday, and we had already talked about this back in the days of when we were doing some of the biowarfare stuff, that when a mosquito bites somebody who's infected, they could potentially spread it to the next person they bite. So we have people in Florida. We have a person in Texas. We have a couple in Illinois. We got one in California. I think that's all I saw so far. It's not that big of a deal. But, oh, be afraid, be very afraid, because guess what? Davos is going on right now, right? All the rich bastards are sitting over there. Where is it this year? Do you even know?
Oh, I can't.
Is it Switzerland? Read. Is that where they do it, in Davos, Switzerland? I don't know. All my tabs are locked up again.
Yeah, I just read that. I guess they're freaking out about Donald Trump, but I think they're doing that as a Hegelian thing, that they're publicly freaking out, but then in the back door, they're, you know, pushing him along. So that's just my take on it anyway.
Yeah, I haven't paid attention to I didn't even know the conference was going on. It's, nope. Yeah, Davos, Switzerland.
Yep. Economic Summit.
Yeah, yeah. And all you rich bastards are there, always. But yesterday evening, I'm brain dead. I posted a story, but I want to see what the headline is. And, yeah, so they made some big announcements. Oh, yeah, here it is. They made some big announcement yesterday at Davos. They now have an Ebola vaccine deal announced at the World Economic Forum. Isn't that great? So,
now,
you know, after all this panic and all the blood and guts and then all these big boys working on a vaccine that were all sprinkle funded, remember, by government agencies under pandemic fear, right? Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now we have a new vaccine, and the deal was announced at the billionaire conference. In Davos, Switzerland, the Vaccine Alliance has signed a $5 million deal for an Ebola vaccine being developed by Merck, hey, one of the big boys, to protect against future outbreaks of the deadly disease. Now, the scary part about the second half of that sentence is when we first dug deep into Ebola, we were following it every time there was some new weird cure, because remember, they were switch flipping using RNAi and CRISPR technologies, and I think, I don't even remember, it was so long ago already. So much has happened since then. But they had like four different ways. One was using plasma. So we had looked at turning old cells young again yesterday with like plasma interchanges, how proteins can affect one person or another. And the thing that's frightening about all this mad science they've been doing about Ebola is after they had all these miraculous cures, and remember, they all went into, because we had a pandemic, or what they were calling an epidemic down in Africa, remember, we even sent American troops,
Right.
that these were all experimental, right? And
Yep.
because it was such an emergency, that was how we got around the ethics of testing untested vaccines on humans, because it was such a horrible emergency. Just like, I talk about it all the time. I can't remember what it's called. What's that pandemic act we have here? We have all these untested vaccines waiting in the stockpile that if we ever have an outbreak, they could start cracking those puppies out and giving them to everybody, regardless of whether or not it's been tested. Right?
Right.
So,
Exactly. For emergency purposes.
what was that?
For emergency purposes.
For emergency purposes only. Then we don't have to have any ethics, right? That's what happens. So, anyway, they did. We had three or four different types of vaccine treatment that they were working on in Africa during the last year or year and a half when they had that outbreak there. So now they've come up with something apparently that Merck either developed or bought the rights to, that now they're going to buy a stockpile of. But here's two things. One of the things that I had read about when they first were talking about coming up with a vaccine is that it was going to be a prophylactic vaccine. Prophylaxis is injecting it into you as a preventative, right?
Ew.
Preventative. Like getting a flu shot that doesn't work, or getting a measles shot that doesn't work, right? So
Exactly.
it makes me wonder when the second half of the sentence says to protect against future outbreaks, does that mean protect against future outbreaks by buying all this vaccine and then vaccinating everybody? Or buying all this vaccine and putting it into a stockpile and then using it as a partially half-baked tested vaccine, right? I don't know. The
Interesting.
second question is, I have seen two or three stories now since we had Ebola, we had these different treatments, and we had some miraculous cures. If you remember, there were a bunch of doctors that had gotten infected and they did the plasma thing. The one guy was up in the Pacific Northwest somewhere, and they sent him up to a hospital there, and he supposedly was cured. And then there was a nurse like in Spain, and they gave her another different type of miraculous therapy, and she was supposedly cured. And then there were people in Africa that supposedly survived, and they're like, oh my God. But remember, it was like never before seen. It had been rapidly not evolving, but pretty much evolving, where it was mutating so quickly. Remember in the very beginning when we had read some of the scientific studies and they were looking at it, they're like, wow, this is the mutations in this were some extreme number. And so they didn't even think they'd be able to come up with a vaccine. Well, what's happened since the quote unquote miraculous cures is, and I had all these stories queued up a couple months ago, but Ebola really didn't come back to the headlines, so I kind of skipped them. But we'll talk about them now because it was disturbing to me that here they thought they'd cured all these people, and you had this whole country of people running around that had been exposed to it and given whatever experimental crap they were using. And it ends up that the virus can still live in parts of the body hidden Almost like Lyme disease. Remember we were talking about that, where those little spigotes can hide in your joints and things if you don't get them right away, and then come back 20 years later. They're,
Yeah, 20 years.
yeah, well, for Lyme disease, yeah, 20 years it can sit dormant.
To see.
But this Ebola was showing up in testicles, in
Yeah.
eyeballs, in places that you typically don't see viruses hiding, and they were hiding and replicating. So that doctor that went up to the Pacific Northwest, they said the way that they knew that something was wrong is that his other eyeball changed a different color. Do you remember that? I did that
Yeah.
story. It was really freaky, and his eyeball was full of Ebola.
Oh man.
And you
I
know,
mean,
this newest nurse now, this is back about a month, maybe a month and a half ago, the one, I think she was out of Spain. I think she was the one where they wanted to euthanize her dog, and I don't remember if they did or not. Because remember, pets were also disease vectors.
they did euthanize that dog,
Oh,
I
did
remember.
they? Yeah, there were protests. I remember that, but I didn't remember if they put him to sleep. Yeah, because pets are disease vectors, and it's so hard to detect, right? So couldn't let the dog live. But she ended up in intensive care about a month and a half ago. They didn't give a lot of
Oh.
details. Yeah. Oh, they didn't give a lot of details. They didn't say where it was hiding. They just said complications due to Ebola, and it had recurred, but it had been hiding from treatment. And that was it. That was the end of the story. So I don't know what happened to her, if she lived or died or what. But then they found, oh, go ahead.
That's interesting because it sounds like we've got a smart virus. That's what it sounds to me
Yeah,
like.
well, it sounds to me like, yeah, they've been doing more mixing in the petri dish. And I mean, everything we've outlined here in the last year and a half or so, starting from the beginnings of the biowarfare program, all the way through to this transhumanism crap and mad science gone mad, it all totally makes sense now. And I have absolutely no doubt in my mind that there isn't some sort of weirdness, and it's not global warming, trust me. And it's not the freaking bat in the one single tree that they found, remember? And they cut the tree down, the one tree that was responsible for the whole Ebola outbreak.
Sure.
But you know, then they discovered, after all these people had these miraculous cures that, you know, from our 21st century medicine that we took over there with the troops in Africa, and they discovered that a lot of these people who were quote unquote cured in Africa have been now going around having sex for what, 8 months, 10, 12 months,
Yeah.
and whoops, it lives in semen for way, 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 way longer than they ever could have possibly imagined. So there was a case of a woman now getting infected through having sexual intercourse with someone who had been deemed cured like last year.
Oh man, this is gonna, it's going to, in the next year or so, this thing is just gonna explode,
I
obviously.
think so. And remember when we talked about, like, it's percolating. Right? That's how they do it. It's percolating. And remember, now we have the Ebola vaccine from Merck declared at Davos as being ready for purchase. Right? Can you say cha-cha-cha-ching?
And ding, 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 all at
And
the
ding, ding, ding. Yes. It's like we're at a casino and we just won the jackpot.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, I don't know. I get really upset when I see this stuff. So now we got Zika. And now, of course, that justifies releasing the hounds and developing a new genetically modified mosquito specifically for Zika to be able to now release in the United States.
They are insane, and somebody needs to be locked up and put behind bars for these decisions. And no, it doesn't happen ever. Nobody ever gets held accountable for any of this stuff ever. And we know who's responsible, those at Davos that are making big bank off this stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
It drives
actually,
me.
I see at the bottom of the story I was wrong. It wasn't the USDA, it's the US Food and Drug Administration that Oxitec is waiting for to complete the environmental impacts report on releasing these in Florida. I mean, it doesn't matter apparently that the people in Florida don't want GMO mosquitoes released everywhere because now it is all about the safety of everyone because this killer virus Zika, which if you look, really doesn't cause much of any symptoms in normal people usually, but whoops, never before seen is somehow causing microencephaly. First time we've never seen it causing microencephaly, but now all of a sudden it is. So it must be the Zika virus. Not something else that we're doing.
That's insane. Absolutely. It's madness. And it just happens. They just pull the stuff out of their butts. You know what I mean? And
well, it's experiment time, right? It's precision medicine. That's what it's all about. We're mixing stuff in Petri dishes and we're sequencing genomes. And we're like, hey, what does this do?
Right. Right. Yeah. And we'll take notes later. You know what I mean?
Let's get the experiment started, man. R&D line item budget. Hold on. R&D line item budget racing means better profits for the shareholders. And if we can do real-time R&D, because remember, we're even going to get rid of the FDA approval for medical devices and treatments if this 21st Century Care Act goes through. It's going to be
right.
Being able to test anything on anybody at any time, and then let's do a case study and see how it goes, because, hey, the tech industry does it that way, and look at how well it worked for them.
Exactly. Exactly.
So we saw a story yesterday, too, about Stephen Hawking. We read this yesterday morning, talking about the greatest threats to mankind, and, of course, we knew this. We've been following Hawking for a while. We've also been following transhumanism and the complete encroachment of the Internet of Things and this evil overarching control of the world down to a protein DNA level. And I mean, it's even going to go beyond that. I saw them, DARPA is working on something right now where they can remote control cells.
Whoa.
Cells. Yeah, I watched this video. Actually, it was a new program that they, I subscribed to the DARPA page on Facebook and it almost made me feel dirty. Like I want to step away from the computer every time I see that they post a story. But they post some scary stuff too, all their new programs they're working on. And this new one, I don't remember what it was called. We'll have to, I don't know, maybe tomorrow or Monday, we'll have to start digging into some of that new stuff because it's pretty deep. But they were talking about being able to control cells remotely, like individual cells.
I saw the video of that where they I think it was a virus or something in like one of these remote control bots. Mm-hmm. And the virus was actually making decisions where to go and whatnot, and that was scary too. But I think you're talking about something else now.
Well, I mean, it's all man science. And so if we go back to Hawking's absolutely correct. I mean, we are like on a collision course here. We think that being gods, right, we're smart enough, we're bright enough. Well, gosh darn it, then let's be gods. But guess what? We're not gods. We're not very bright. We don't have any morals. And so we're just doing mad science gone mad. There's no controls on this. And it's all about who's going to race to get to the top to make the most money. It is like playing chicken ad nauseum right now.
Yep.
With our ecosystem. I mean, this isn't going to end well at all. And it isn't going to be nuclear war. It's going to be a quiet war. It's going to be some sort of bleeding out every orifice and now nobody knowing what's happening. It's a very frightening thought. And I don't know. I don't see how we're going to stop the truck. And as we have DIY gene editing kits that you can do in your garage, I just posted another story about that. I mean, that's not even a joke.
Oh, man, that's what I was thinking about this morning, honestly.
This dude was talking about this little kid he's got, and he's gene editing in his kitchen. Here it is on his kitchen table.
My God, no way.
I posted this on my personal page because I know that my friends and family like think I'm lunatic. But when you see something like this out of phys.org titled Biologist Gene Editing Kit, Let's Do-It-Yourselfers Play God at the Kitchen Table, it's got to make you go, huh?
Oh,
yeah, that's
no.
The title. That's the title of the story.
God, that's crazy.
Here, wait, let's read this. Because this even talks about the whole NASA AIM synthetic biology program. It says on the kitchen table of his cramped apartment, Josiah Zehner is performing the feat that is transforming biology in tiny vials. He's cutting, pasting, and stirring genes as simply as mixing a vodka tonic. Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, how crazy is that? So he's just do-do-do-do-do, and he's sitting in his little crampy apartment. I mean, don't think that there aren't people who want to do real bad things that have their hands on this technology already, because I can bet you there are.
You know, like absolutely.
Like I've said before, my worst nightmare has been since the early 80s when I got my hands on Stephen King's The Stand, unabridged edition. I think it was like 1981 or two. Unabridged edition, and I read that book, and oh my God, did it scare the pants off of me, because that's what it was about. It was like, it got out, and then you had Typhoid Mary, and once Typhoid Mary started moving, you know, each time she touched somebody, they touched another 100 people, and it didn't take too long. And we even looked at maps back a while ago. You were on the show there with me that day, and it had shown it was just within days. Within days, with the way transportation is today, it would only be days for a pandemic to hit the entire planet if it really was that virulent.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, I'm going to finish the story here. It says, so anyway, it's as simple as mixing vodka and tonic. And next, he slides his new hybrid creations living in petri dishes onto a refrigerator shelf next to the vegetables. And he is packaging and selling his DIY gene editing technique for $120 so that anyone else can do it too.
Wow.
What a sicko.
That's it, man. Everything's just been, the Pandora's box has been open now.
It is wide open and Pandora's pissed.
Yeah.
I'm so afraid over this right now. How you cannot protect against microbes. Just like you can't. We looked at Lyme disease yesterday because now Lyme is in 43% of all counties across the entire United States. Did you hear that one? It's gone epidemic. The Northeast is epidemic proportions right now for Lyme.
Jeez, man.
How do you protect against that? I mean, ticks are, some of the nematodes are the size of a grain of pollen.
Oh, my God. And there's no way to find those.
Nope. And there's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to hide once the woods are all infected. And now, hey, let's just infect all the air, too, because you can only have so many tanks of air and bio suits. You know what I mean? Like, I've always been the type where I look at a problem, I come up with a plan. I look at a problem, I come up with a plan. That's the way my brain works. And I usually have, like, 10 plans. So A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. You know, I'm definitely, if you got an issue, hit me up, man. I'll come up with some solution. And if not, we'll have like 10 others. But I have come to the point over the last 10 or 15 years that I've been sitting here coming up with plans for bad shit that I think could happen. I'm out of ideas, guys. I don't have any more. I don't have some underground hermetically sealed vault with $10,000 air purifiers. You know what I mean? I'm out of ideas.
And just wait until like more and more people start doing this home DNA.
Right. This is just the beginning. This is what's so frightening. It's just starting.
Beast into the indigenous population of animals and plants, and oh my God, it's going to be, what's it going to look like in 10, 20 years time? We're not going to have dogs anymore. There won't be any men and women anymore. There's not going to be anything, birds or...
No. Well, they're already, we did a couple days on genetically modifying humans. That's coming. England, I guess they're messing around with it. China, they're ready to rock and roll with a factory. We got an MIT, there was the story on MIT Technology Review, the three different universities, I believe, they had these human-animal hybrids already where they're mixing in human DNA and then growing human organs inside of them. And they're like, well, what's going to happen when we put the human brain cells into the, you know, the mouse or whatever? You can have conversations with your pet rat.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Exactly. I mean, honestly, and this is already going on. Like I said, we're just finding out about it now. But you better believe. I mean, when I first started doing this, we heard about the human animal chimeras that they had in petri dishes in the UK. That was 2011. Yep. And that was just, quote, unquote, by accident. They found out about that. I think that there's way, 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 way more that's about to be unleashed. All right, let me read a little bit more of this. So this dude who wants to release his DIY gene editing kits for $120 says, quote, I want to democratize science. How nice is that? So let's democratize it. Give everybody a gene editing kit to be a mad scientist in their kitchen. And how nice. His left arm has a tattoo on it that says, build something beautiful. Great. Oh, so this is a prospect that worry those who fear unregulated amateur biologists could unleash new pathogens. But it delights others who imagine the day when anyone could redesign the living world and create cheap drugs or clean fuels. Yeah, that sounds like such a good freaking idea. It says this was once a godlike power. So creating life, you know, that's the one thing I was thinking about. My kid started asking me about some stuff, and I was trying to explain to her why video games and TV, violence, especially on TV, is a bad thing. And I was explaining desensitization and why when, you know, if you haven't seen any of that stuff and you see something get killed, you're really shocked when you see all the blood and the guts. You're like, oh my God, and it affects you. But if you've seen that now 1,000 times happen over and over again, it's almost like you get bored seeing it. It's like, yeah,
sure,
I've seen it. It's whatever. And as you see that more and more, you get more and more used to blood and guts and death. And as you get used to death, guess what? There's no more respect for life. And I really think that we have lost the respect for life is what's happened. The respect for what it means to be alive, what it means to have a living, breathing planet that's done all this on its own. We've had nothing to do with it. Right? We've had nothing to do with creating the beauty that exists right now and the amazing balance that happens without humans interfering, without pollution, without all the other garbage. It is absolutely beautiful. And when you start understanding the mathematics behind it all and how it all happens, it's a complete and absolute mind-boggling feat that it happens without human intervention.
Yes.
So as we give ourselves the power to now turn this into some sort of freak show, which is exactly what's happening. He says, this was once a godlike power, but hey, moving genes from one creature to another has now become the realm of big budget labs. And 3 years ago, University of California, Berkeley invented CRISPR, right? CRISPR. CRISPR is like the end, the beginning of the end, I think. Make it real easy, cut and paste.
Yeah. Less than $100.
Yeah, $120. Yeah. I'll tell you what, anything under $100 is going to be in the consumer section next Black Friday for Christmas gifts. You watch.
And it'll be in bubblegum machines next.
Mm-hmm. So it says, after CRISPR, which is what the scientist is modeling his kit on, offers a cheap, fast, precise, and powerful way to edit genetic sequences. But until now, it's remained confined to academic and commercial settings. But hey, he's unleashing it in your kitchen now. It's horrifying.
It's absolutely, I don't even know. I'm completely speechless. I mean, just the implication.
Not even one person commented on this story. Because, like, what? Did they think it was lunacy? I mean, if you read this, here, let's read a little bit more. Because how could you not have something to say about this? Zahner, this is the scientist, is the first probably not the last, but he's the first to market a simplified version of CRISPR to the masses, a project that for now is more provocative than perilous. The kit does have limited applications. His altered bacteria and yeast, which are quite harmless, lead brief and fairly dull lives. They can't do much except change color, fragrance, or live in inhospitable places, and then they die. But think about it. Take a couple Q-tips. I mean, let's go back to the 80s when I first started, after reading The Stand, first started thinking about all the horrible things that could happen and how it could spread with pathogens. And my first thought was international airport bathroom. Q-tip doorknob, you know, especially the doorknob on the way in before people have washed their hands.
Oh, yeah.
And I bet there's like a party going on that doorknob. You could probably find some really interesting things. You know, that's all it would take. He might give them innocuous yeast and bacteria, but if somebody goes and gets some swabs from somewhere, I bet they'd find some pretty virulent pathogens that then they could maybe do other stuff with.
Sure, absolutely. Jeez. Heinous.
So this raises the specter, deeply troubling to some experts, of a day when dangerous gene editing is conducted far from the eyes of the government regulators, which, you know what, it's already happening in the deep, dark back rooms or basements, which then pose threats to environment or human health. Yeah, faced with our broadening access to gene editing tools, three Stanford University scholars last month. So it's got to make you kind of pay attention when the pit of the lizard's den is actually standing up going, uh-oh, Chuck, back up the truck. Three Stanford University scholars last month urged federal regulators to create better rules for risky biological research to reduce the likelihood of a bioengineered super microbe escaping from the lab or being deliberately unleashed. This month, the University of Chicago educated molecular biophysicist will end a 2-year fellowship in the NASA Ames Synthetic Biology Program to become a full-time disciple. Oh my God, and this guy is like a high-end dude. To become a full-time disciple of the do-it-yourself biology movement. Convinced that citizen scientists, even on a shoestring budget, can help solve big societal problems with biology. Oh.
Create big societal problems?
Create. Oh my God. Yeah, this just goes on and on. I can't read anymore. It's really giving me like a sharp pain in my head. It's not good. Oh goodness. So yeah, when you think of them apples. So now we got Zika brewing everywhere. You know, be afraid, be very afraid, because there's going to be a lot more. Would be my prediction. Never before scenes.
Yeah, with these home testing kits. I mean, there's, I don't know.
It's like homebrew. Homebrew, yeah, for bacteria and viruses.
And you get the little kids, you know, and they're going to, I mean, people like your daughter's age. I mean, really, I mean, ooh, let's cross like a duck and a goose, you know, hey, duck, duck, goose for real. You know what I mean? And then you get the little animals running around and geez.
Here's the one thing. Back quite a number of years ago when they first had started talking about the zombie virus, and we did that too. I had read not one, not two, but three articles. And I still remember one was in National Geographic. One was in like Discover. And I don't remember the third one. But I found the National Geographic article quite a number of times now and put it in the notes to the show, where they had talked about how could you make the zombie virus out of stuff that's freely available in the environment right now. And they had decided that probably the way to do it, I mean, obviously to be a zombie, you got to have a bloodlust, right? Brains.
Yeah.
And you gotta have like low impulse control. And one of the things they talked about is using, and oh, and it's gotta be easily transmissible from person to person. So something that's already easily transmissible would be like the common cold virus, right? And you can get that
Yep.
anywhere. I
That's
bet that would be available even at your local airport bathroom doorknob, right? With a Q-tip. Common cold, or any elementary school, even, right? You could get
Rick.
the common cold virus. And then the second would be
Go for it.
combining it with the rabies virus. So then the rabies virus could be A, transmissible, and B, airborne and aerosolized.
Oh,
And
man.
scientists were like, huh, good idea. Well, bad idea. Because it's possible, right? It would destroy
Yeah.
the brain. You'd start going lunatic, not being able to control yourself, violent outbreaks, bloodlust.
Yeah.
And I mean, that stuff is available. I'm sure that there's probably rabid animals in the woods all over the place. Go to some
Yeah.
veterinary clinic. I don't know. I mean, this stuff isn't locked up. And when we found out, when we did all that anthrax, smallpox, CDC, DOD, complete utter lack of security with pathogen whole section of the show. I mean, we went over that stuff for months on end. There was scandal after scandal, remember? Where they were
Yep.
shipping this stuff. We had smallpox sitting for 30 years on top of filing cabinets that they're like, oh, look, they're shipping virulent pathogens in Ziploc baggies from one place
Right.
to another. We
Oh,
got
man.
anthrax at like, there were hundreds of labs across a whole spate of countries around the whole planet that they'd shipped out. They thought it had all been killed, and whoops, guess what? Radiation didn't kill it all. So there potentially was live anthrax shipped all over the world, too.
Right.
And now we're going to release these gene DIY kitchen table or in your garage editing kits and say, have fun, kids.
And there's a lot of people, kids, teenagers, or whatever, that are obsessed with shows like The Walking Dead. Obsessed. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? Everything zombie. Everything. You know what I mean?
Well, not
There's.
only that, but think about it. We got all these self-radicalized jihadis now, teenager jihadis that want to bring shit down. I mean, at any point in time, if there was a bad time to release some sort of DIY Frankenstein gene editing kit, I would say it would be now.
Right?
Time to clamp down. This is not about democratizing being a god. You know what?
Yeah.
I don't deserve to be a god. I don't want to be a god. Thank you very much. I don't
Right.
ever have never aspired to have godlike powers or abilities to be able to know what's going on or create life or mutate it or whatever. I
Yeah.
have never aspired for that ever.
Gonna come and bite everyone in the ass.
It is. It's too much responsibility. You know what? If you've ever been a manager, you know, it all comes down to you. You become a dictator. Do what I say or else. And it's not a good place to be because everything becomes your responsibility. And if you don't have a good work ethic, if from a business perspective or the vision of what's supposed to be happening, it turns into utter chaos if you're giving everyone directions and you don't have a plan.
That's exactly right.
I don't know about you, but I don't want to live under somebody else's vision. Like the DARPA lady said, we want to be able to push a button and create life out of genes from organisms out of all the different kingdoms, plant, animal, or bacterial, viral.
Wow. I'm sorry. There's a freaking bald eagle outside my house right
Oh,
now.
nice.
I'm getting a bald eagle right now. Whoa, sorry.
Well,
Go
hopefully he
for
doesn't like, hopefully it's not a sign as he does a nosedive into the water there.
it. Crazy. Everything's frozen in front of me right now. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to sidetrack you. That was just crazy. So I mean, honestly, if you get somebody like that's got mental health issues with these kits, these home
Yeah,
kits.
let's do mental health checks for a firearm. But let's let anyone buy a DIY splice and dice gene kit.
That's huge.
And plug
That's
God
huge.
In their kitchen.
Whoa. Yeah, that's insanity. Absolute insanity. And you know that there's just, and, oh my God, people with mental health issues are just, you know what I mean? They're not, they just, they're, oh my God, there's two of them now. I'm sorry. I'm getting a show outside my window.
Oh, that's cool.
And honestly, things like that, the majestic bald eagle, I mean, if there's like stuff just put into the environment like this, in home testing kits, I mean, everything that we once knew is just going to be completely gone. Yeah. Gone. 2016 is the year of it. You
yeah,
see
it
the
is.
Stocks are down right now? I mean, everything is tanking.
I saw oil hit 27 a barrel yesterday. 27.
We really should be paying like under $1 a barrel.
Yeah, I'm still at $1.95 a gallon for gas here at $27 a barrel gas. yeah, I was just looking still at this story about the DIY kit. I can I read a little bit more?
Absolutely, please.
it says, with a shock of dyed hair, ear piercings and a Go Ninja Go t-shirt, and this is this one scientist, he takes his inspiration from the early days of personal computing, which I remember those days, I lived them, when the Homebrew Computer Club and other hobbyists shared now legendary ideas and experiments. His kit has the support of Jacob Korn, so this must be the guy who created this DIY kit. He's got support of some big dude, scientific director of the University of California-based Innovative Genomics Initiative Research Lab, noting that Zahner's kit could never be used to alter human genes. Don't worry about it. Korn called it a, quote, nice way to introduce people to the idea of genome editing. This kit is similar to something that an undergrad at Berkeley might do in a basic biology lab course. But Stanford University infectious disease expert David Relman, co-director of the Center for International Security and Cooperation, voiced concerns. These kits will enable users to become proficient with more generally with this technology so that they could someday become skilled enough to use advanced tools. Worried that the growing number of labs that for genetic research purposes are developing novel pathogens with pandemic potential, Relman and colleagues wrote a cautionary report in December, in the December issue of the Journal of Science. Some scientists, he said, and we talked about this as well, are creating a much more contagious version of the H1 or H5N1 bird flu. And remember, there wasn't one, there was two that could wipe out like entire populations. They took that, the pandemic, the 1918 pandemic flu as well. And they published their studies after they made them. So they killed like almost everyone. And, well, could potentially kill almost everyone. Others have used a modified respiratory virus to cause cancer in mice. Did you hear that? A respiratory virus to cause cancer, guys. That's even worse than a zombie virus.
It
I never
is.
Thought about that one. Like an aerosolized cancer?
Yeah, that's weaponized, sounds to me.
That's freaking scary.
Whoa.
Unlike building nuclear weaponry, dangerous biological research can be done in small, tiny little labs, according to the Stanford report. I do not think that we want an unregulated, non-overseen community of freelance practitioners in this technology, said Relman. Well, hey, like I said, when it's coming out of the lizard's den saying, hey, guys, probably isn't such a good idea, we should be paying attention because even they're afraid. And I mean, I know right. Some could say, well, they control the technology, so they don't want the people to get their hands on it. But I don't think the people should have their hands on it. I don't think anybody should be messing around with this shit.
I agree.
Some experts wonder if it is even possible to control gene editing in animals, plants, or microbes. You've got these guys with BS degrees in a garage, warned Hank Greeley, director of Stanford's Center for Law and the Biosciences at an international summit of the Academy of Sciences this past month. in his one-bedroom El Camino apartment, shared with two cats, Zahner, the guy who created the DIY kit, holds a vial of E. coli bacteria. And then he adds two common chemicals to perforate the bacterial cell membranes. To this, then, he adds, quote-unquote, donor DNA of a different strain of bacteria, along with cellular scissors, which is the enzyme called CRISPR-Cas9, and a strand of RNA that guides the CRISPR to the genome that needs editing. All the ingredients are then mixed together and then incubated. The work is concealed behind a drawn blind so his neighbors are not alarmed. Oh, my God. See something, say something.
Insane.
Oh, if you have a neighbor, like, that's like the one thing that I think I would have to. I know I said I wouldn't blow somebody in, but if I saw a neighbor, man, that had all kinds of vials and crap all over his kitchen table and he was out taking school, I don't know. This is just so beyond scary for me. This has been a nightmare of mine since I was a teenager. Nothing in his kits is harmful to human health, he says. Maybe except for the shot glasses, he jokes. We have to make it funny. The bacteria and the yeast strains are everyday varieties, and novice hackers lack the skills or advanced equipment needed to swap in more dangerous genes. Yeah, but they're publishing research all over. You don't think that it's going to be, you know, too long before they have, like, how to do this? I mean, once people get their hands on this technology, you don't think that people are going to start publishing, maybe even just in the dark web, but I'm sure all over, how to DIY this, that, and the other thing?
Oh, my God. It'll be insane.
It's frightening. Domesticated biotechnology, once it gets into the hands of housewives and children, will give us an explosion of diversity of new living creatures. Ah!
Oh, no. Yikes.
I don't know. Zahner, now 34, has practiced free thinking ever since his homeschool days on a farm in rural Indiana, so blame it on that, where he kept owls in the basement. What? It continued while earning his doctorate, focusing on protein synthesis, and frustrated when his PhD advisor discouraged certain projects, he started running his own experiments at home in January. So, yeah, he sounds like just the type of guy that you want making DIY kits and releasing it to the world, right? This guy's disgruntled. He's pissed off at the establishment, so he's like, fuck it, man. I'm giving everyone the ability now to gene edit in their kitchen.
Gee, man.
That's called self-radicalized.
Yeah. And there's no way, real way to detect a person like that.
Hell no. Unless they're going to track where these kits go. Maybe he'll just sell them direct, not through Amazon. I don't know. This just is not good news at all. In January, he said he's going to focus his full attention on his CRISPR business, which has already raised more than $48,000 through his popular crowdfunding campaign on Indiegogo, as well as his lab equipment supply company called the Open Discovery Institute. So not only is he selling these kits, but he's selling lab supply too.
So why in the hell isn't the FBI knocking down this fucking door?
Guy's door. Exactly. I'd like to know that. And why is this an article like it's a good thing in fizz.org?
Oh, God. They're going after supplement makers and, right, and people who have, you know, raw milk. They're going after them.
But this dude is like a great entrepreneur. Look at how great it is. He says, there will always be people in the world who want to do bad things. But if you give nobody access to anything, then that means no good things will be done either. What a lump of shit logic that is.
Oh my God, that's sick and
I mean,
twisted.
look, I am absolutely not against having some sort of innovation and people with great ideas, okay? Don't think that that's what I'm saying, but this is like bad idea number 10,275.
Right.
It should actually be higher on the list, but it's new. And this is just from 3 days ago, the story came out. We've read about it a few times, though, while they were getting ready to launch DIY editing. And I mean, before, all you really needed was like a centrifuge and stuff. Of course, you didn't have CRISPR at home, but I guess you could have done stuff before. So put on a seatbelt. I don't even know what to say to any of this. Things are going to get really interesting in 2016, I think. And there's going to be lots more of never before scenes. I wonder if Stephen Hawking knows about the DIY gene editing kits.
He has to. I mean, it seems logical that he would anyway. I mean, the guy knows a lot about everything, so
He does.
damn.
So what I think we're going to talk about tomorrow is the Internet of Things and why. I couldn't believe Big Think actually came out with a story saying, hey, guess what? It's not such a good idea to put all your personal data and Fitbit data and location data and all this other stuff online because they're going to use it for not good.
That's
This
right.
was surprising. Yeah, but it was like a mainstream publication that said that. And there's another whole story about the Internet of Things and how it includes you. So we were always right. I mean, we called that one way, 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 way back.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that should be fun. So anyway,
Oh.
or not, guess what? We got 10 seconds left of the show. All right, guys, it's Thursday, so make sure you stick around. We got Ron live. We got Kevin live up next. Ron live at 7 p.m. Hal Anthony at 8 p.m. Eastern. Double Cross with Chuck at 10, and Intermediate with SM Gibson. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today, lady people. Hope you're doing awesome, and I will catch up with you guys tomorrow.